Hello, everyone.
Welcome
to our family home evening.
We have a very special guest with us today.
Who is it, Charlotte?
It's our sister, Tiffany!
Welcome, Tiffany.
Thanks. It's so good to be here.
Did you think when you woke up this morning that you'd be a special guest star on a pirate radio show today?
I mean, I had my fingers crossed and I tried to imagine it, so the secret works.
Have we given up on trying to find creepy things that are in a Mormon house?
I think we've covered it. I mean, every house looks exactly the same. Tiffany, any ideas of what you, let's say you walk into your cousin's house, what does it look like?
What do you see?
Well, a year's supply of top ramen. I was, you know, instant mashed potatoes.
Fruit roll-ups.
Yeah, there's definitely a pantry, and I can eat my way through it.
Yeah, we did kind of gloss over food storage. That's a key point.
Right. That's about it. I mean, trampolines. Oh, we didn't really cover trampolines. We cut that.
7 children with terrible names.
Riley spelled R-E-I-L-E-G-H-Y-H-E-L-E-Y.
That might just be a Utah thing. Is it a Mormon thing or a Utah thing?
It's an everywhere thing.
That's unfortunate.
So what are you guys drinking? What are you drinking tonight, Charlotte?
I am drinking some wine that I got off of the discount shelf because I'm poor, since I'm not working right now.
Is it so trashy and poor that you're not going to plug the name of it?
I can't remember what it is. I want to say it's like, I don't think it's the worst wine. It's like Blackstone.
Got it. I'm drinking this nice rosé that I really like, and I can't remember the name of it because it's French, and I am really embarrassed when I try to pronounce French words. So we'll just call it rosé.
Perfect.
What are you drinking, Tiff?
I'm drinking Puka Sleepy Time Tea.
Puka makes good tea.
Puka does. It helps me sleep. It's better than Valium.
No.
Do you guys remember that Saturday Night Live where it was like the, oh God, Molly Shannon and I forget the other lady's name, but they would
Delicious
have,
Dish.
Yeah, Delicious Dish. That's what I'm reminded of. It's a nice rosé, some sleepy time chamomile tea. Nice.
Of course, I just think of sweaty balls.
That's the same one.
Yeah, I know. When he talks about his sweaty balls.
Delicious Dish. I'm really excited, Tiffany, that you're here because I have a story that I think our listeners will really enjoy hearing, and I'm glad that you're here to tell it with me because you are a, I don't want to say willing participant, but you were there. Can you guess?
Is it when I was 12 and I sang Elvis on the Table?
I totally forgot about that. You would have almost gotten away with us never remembering that if you hadn't just brought it up.
I don't know that story, so...
We had one of those mics. It was like a, it was one of those like toy, like kid baby mics that just had an echo, okay. But it wasn't, there was no electronics or batteries or anything in it.
Oh, okay. But it had an echo somehow?
Yeah, it was weird. It had an echo.
Okay.
Do you want to tell the story, Tiffany, or do you want me to?
Well, we can tell it twice. We can do it from my perspective and your perspective, because my perspective is I had my friend's pipe. She left it at the house, and it had a lot of resin in it. And you and Tammy were so kind to, like, scrape it out and, like, get it all out for me, and then we were going to smoke it. And so, like,
you're 12?
We smoked something like that. Yeah, about 12, because Mandy left when she was 17, and so she would have been 17. Or maybe it was 11. Who knows? I got high young. And so anyways, they're like, oh, yeah, so we got high. You know, I maybe had, like, a hit or two, and I'm 11 or 12, and I'm obnoxious. And so I get up, and I sing Elvis, and I think they were laughing at me. They were laughing. I thought we were having a good time.
They were laughing and with then, you.
And then Tammy or Mandy says, hey, did you hear that? It's Dad. And I went and hid in the closet because I was terrified. Aww. And they took all of the rest of the resin and left.
Oh my God, you're
a fucking monster.
Mandy, what's your perspective of that story?
I didn't remember anything about the scraping of the resin. I think that, I mean, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. It was a different Tammy, maybe, just in case we are. But, like, that's all Tammy's jam, scraping resin out of a tongue. But, yeah, I do. I totally remember. Yeah, I don't remember Tiffany being that young, but I guess that's just the way my memory wanted to work. But yeah, I totally do remember fucking with her and being like, oh my god, Tiffany, dad's home, we're gonna get busted. And she was like hiding in the closet. I don't remember just like abandoning her, but I guess I did.
Sorry. I think I was in there for 36 hours.
No, you weren't. Wow.
Hurtful, mean-spirited, really.
Yeah, that was a dick move. And Tiffany, I apologize.
No, it's okay. I'm sure it wasn't, you know, it was just a time. It wasn't like a life-changing moment for you like it was for me, and that's okay. I can't trust people anymore.
Well, you guys talk it out. I'm going to go slit my wrist.
Put on some Elliot Smith while you're at it.
Yeah, see you later.
So, what's your thought? What's your story, Mandy?
Well, the story that I was thinking of telling was the time that we... basically the time that we took my Volkswagen bus out on... we were driving from Washington to Utah. I think to Utah. And we went on that, like, little side road trip to Augusta, Idaho.
Atlanta.
That's right. Atlanta, Idaho. So clearly you remember that story. You want to tell that one?
No, you can tell that one.
So interject whenever you like, Tiffany. But so my brother Casey was kind enough to gift me a series of Volkswagen buses. And they were all the same year. It was all 71 Volkswagen buses because that was the year before they changed the engine and change the carburetor system, so it was really actually super easy to work on the engine yourself. Like, I could time my own engine. I used a little nail polish to mark the crankshaft and like time all my stuff. Like, it was super easy and it was super fun. Anyway, those buses would frequently break down. Right. I can actually tell you so many stories of almost dying in each one of those buses. But this particular time we almost died in these buses was we decided, so it was me, Tiffany, Sarah, and Tammy. Who else? Was that everybody?
That was everybody.
Yeah, we decided we were driving to Utah. What was that?
Oh, I was whispering or mouthing her name because I want to know which Sarah.
Oh, Sarah and Janet.
No, okay.
it was some sisters that from Logan.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got you.
But yeah, so we were driving. We must have been driving to Logan, and we decided that we wanted to go take this detour right around Boise.
Oh no!
Okay, so that's how you know every horror story starts is you're especially, near Boise,
especially with Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. That's my arch nemesis. That town.
For real. For real. So we've done that trip from Bellingham to Utah so many times, and there's always something terrible that happens when you're driving through Boise for some reason. But so we decided that we wanted to take this like side trip out into basically. So it was a 60 mile. I think it was 60 miles of dirt road out into the edge of the Sawtooth Wilderness. And there was some hot springs out there and like a camping, you know, camping area and stuff. So we decided we're going to like go out there and check it out. So we're driving. It's dirt road. It's not like terrible roads. You know, like we're in a bus. Right. So it's, you know, it's manageable. We can navigate it. And it's getting really like beautiful and, you know, windy, and we're getting into, you know, we're along this river and it's just, everything is so beautiful. And we're getting pretty close to our destination, and the van just dies. The bus dies. And so, you know, we get out there, try to look at it. And, like, I don't know a shit ton about engines, but I know enough, like, to do my own timing and stuff like that. I had the Bible. It was, like, some hippie Bible on how to fix Volkswagen engines. I'll have to look it up. So we get out, we can't figure anything out. It's just, we're just stuck out there. And it's, what time do you think it was, Tiffany? It was like, I don't know, afternoon, right?
Probably. I mean, we were on a dirt road for 45 miles.
Yeah. And so we're just kind of like, shit, you know, we're stuck. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this like fucking redneck mobile comes like screeching around the corner. We're kind of on a blind curve, and they're like, you know, kicking up gravel with their tires, and it's these two, they pull over to stop, and it's these two youngish guys. We were kind of young too, we were like in our early 20s, probably mid-20s, early 20s. And
I was 17, I think.
Yeah, you were 17. And these two guys, so they're wearing like camo and they're just, they got a, you know, I'm pretty sure, I could be making this up, but I'm pretty sure they like pulled out a, you know, 24 pack of beer and put it on the hood and started slamming beers in front of us like, hey, ladies, what's going on, you know? And, you know, they try to pretend like, oh, they're going to look at the engine and figure it out for us. And they're just really like hillbilly rednecks. I, you know, I'm just going to be straight with you. They were trash balls. You know, and they're, like, trying to pretend that they can look and see what's going on. They can't figure it out. And so they're like, well, you know, we're getting close to town. And town, by the way, was, from my recollection, was one bar slash, like, restaurant kind of thing, which was just like a couple pool tables and, like, you know, a bar with, like, burgers and fries or something. And it had a grocery store, which was an old one-room schoolhouse that had been converted into a grocery store that was just dry goods only. There's no fresh, you know, food or milk or anything. It was just all dry because you were way the fuck out there. It's like when you're looking at a map, when you get to the edge of where it's actually charted, that's where we were, like right on the edge. It was like uncharted wilderness right beyond there. So they're like, well, we're real close to town, like we'll take one of you guys in there.
Oh, hell no.
And we'll see if we can get you help. And that's what I said. I was like, fuck that shit. And one of us ended up actually, was it one or two that got in that car?
I don't remember this at all.
You don't?
No.
Oh, yeah. One of us, I think it was Sarah, maybe, had gotten in the car. Oh, it was you and Sarah, because I was like, you can't, like, it can't just be one of you. Like, right. We have to go in pairs. Like,
if we're not letting. If there's four people, then two and yeah, two, right?
We're not letting one person get in a car with these fucking trash balls or whatever. And so you guys go, I think you guys went into town, and then so me and Tammy were there, and you guys were supposed to like call somebody or try to figure something out, and so we were just gonna wait by the car to see what happens. And then we were there for a little while, and this other guy comes around the bend, and he's this older hippie guy. His name was South Mountain Carlos. That's how he introduced himself, South Mountain Carlos. And he was like, you know, just he looked like he probably was still following the Grateful Dead if they were alive. I don't know if they were alive by then. But he, you know, had a Volkswagen Bug. And so he, you know, looked in our engine and tried a few things. And he pulled a piece out of his engine and put it in my engine. It's the rotor. So it's basically the little thing that spins around and gives electricity to all the spark plugs. And sure enough, it started right up. He's like, oh, yeah, you just need a new rotor. And so we put his rotor in my van, drove the van to the campsite, got a ride back, put it back in his car. And so we were able to get both cars into the campsite. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I know somebody in Boise. So I'll get, you know, I'll have the part sent out here for you. It'll take, you know, we'll try to overnight it, but it might take 2 days to get out here or whatever. And so we were like, okay, sweet. So we're at our campsite finally. And we go to this bar, and it's like, it reminds me of like the old Beaver kind of, but not quite that big. I think, what do you think, Tiffany? Was there like two pool tables, one pool table in there?
I'm going to guess seven pool tables in there.
No. I think they had like two beers on tap and maybe like Jack Daniels or something. And so we went in to like have a drink and relax because we were fucking stressed out about being broken down in the middle of the wilderness. And these two dudes are in there playing pool. So I don't remember if we were playing pool with them or we were playing pool next to them. That's why I want to say there were two pool tables, because I want to imagine that we didn't just go and decide we were going to start hanging out with these two people.
They helped you out. I mean, they at least, you know, helped.
They did. Weren't the guys that helped us out. They were just there.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that they were the same people, the hillbillies that came.
Yeah, no, they were. They were the same hillbillies. Yeah.
And I don't think I rode into town with them, because I remember South Mountain Carlos or whatever, working on your engine, and I was supposed to hold up the engine cover, and I dropped it on his head, and it bled, and I felt terrible. I still feel terrible.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So it must have been Tammy then that left. Or maybe it was just Sarah. Maybe we just
like Sarah. Bye, Sarah. Have
into nice the life. Wilderness.
Godspeed.
Good luck. Questionable life choices were made.
Usual.
Actually, that makes sense, because if we met them back at that little bar. That would make sense. Like, we're meeting back up with Sarah. That's probably where the phone was. That's where the little one-room schoolhouse was with the groceries or whatever. Right. So it's like almost like a campground, but it's like
but kind it's their
of
a town.
But it's kind of a town. Yeah, for real, for real. So I remember, you know, just shooting the shit, playing pool with these guys, having a beer. And the one thing that really even makes that memorable at all was because, Tiffany, you had your tongue pierced at the time. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. And why? It must have been a bar restaurant, because why was I in there if I was only a teenager?
Yeah, I think you must be right. It must be. Also, I don't think they had laws out there in the fucking Wild the West either.
In the Sawtooth Wilderness.
Mm-hmm. But this is burned into my head until the day I die, but I just remember one of those guys going like, "You girls are wild. You're wild." Because they saw Tiffany's tongue ring. "You're wild like the Spice Girls." And I was like, yeah, we are.
God, I wish I could be wild like a Spice Girl.
But it was all Tiffany. Like, they were super infatuated with Tiffany.
Because she was a baby.
She's wild.
She's wild.
And I had a tongue ring.
So, yeah, that was fun.
Wait, what did you whisper? You can't whisper in the mic because it doesn't translate.
I said, "Gary Spice."
Scary Spice.
That campsite was rad, though, and I someday want to go back there because it was like the Boise River we're camping next to, but it was like, so the Boise River, when you're going through actual Boise, is like, I don't know, maybe a mile wide. I could be just making that up, but it's really, really wide. And then when you get up there, it was like cold ass glacier water.
A mile wide.
What?
Timmy doesn't believe that it was a mile wide.
Maybe not a mile. It probably wasn't a mile. But it was really wide. Like, you know, you couldn't just, like, lazily swim across it. You know, it's like the Columbia Gorge. It's like the river, you know, is super wide. Yeah, definitely not a mile. But my point being is when we were up there, it was like you could almost jump across it. I mean, it wasn't that narrow, but it was like a Logan River sized, you know? It was like, and we jumped in and went swimming, and it was like the clearest, most pristine water with big ass. You can't see how far my hands are apart, but these big fish were swimming around in there, and it was super cold glacier water, and we all jumped in and went swimming. That was the coldest water I've ever been in, actually. You know what else I remember about just being so fucking awesome about that Atlanta, Idaho campground? Was there was hot springs there. That was kind of like the draw to get out there, the geothermal springs. And this one had a waterfall coming down it. So it was like a waterfall of hot water. And then Ooh. You're in a fairly shallow, like, pool. But it's almost like it's got a natural bench in it. So it's like you're in a natural hot tub with a hot waterfall water coming down over you. And then at the time that we were there, there was a meteor shower going on, too. And so you're in the middle of nowhere. Cool. So it's like you're chilling in this, like, nature hot tub with fucking shooting stars going everywhere.
I like it.
Yeah, it was so, so beautiful out there. Under different circumstances with, you know, a reliable vehicle.
Right.
I would totally go
back
there again.
There's something to be said about a reliable vehicle.
Yeah, dude, I can't
I know Matt went there, like, 15 years ago, and he said it was pretty much abandoned. But I look at housing around there, and it's expensive.
You look at housing around Atlanta, Idaho?
Why would you not? It's beautiful out there. And houses are, like, $250 for a cabin. And there's hot springs.
Where's hot springs?
We've often talked about, Tiffany, all of us buying a town and right? you becoming the sheriff.
God, it still sounds like a great idea. And we could do it in Detroit.
I would be a great sheriff.
Well, why Detroit? Why not go out to Atlanta, Idaho?
Because Detroit, they'll give you money if you take a house. That's what I've read.
We can't afford Atlanta anyway. Anywhere that's like pristine wilderness is too expensive now.
Damn it.
I've just decided.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to go get shot and take a free house in Detroit and get murdered.
Free house in Detroit.
I don't want to be sheriff of Detroit.
That's fair.
I heard Detroit has a rad music scene, though.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. My friend Scott told me that. He hung out with Jack White there.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany, did you listen to our last podcast? I mean, Pirate Radio episode that we did?
I did not listen to one.
That's mean.
That is mean.
I'm sorry. I keep thinking about it, and then I don't do it. And then I'm listening to Aerosmith's What It Takes instead. Again, and again, and again.
I just don't know what the hell is wrong with you people.
There's an accordion in that song.
I love accordions, but you know what I don't love? Fucking Aerosmith.
You know why? Because you probably haven't heard him.
Yeah, Aerosmith's pretty good.
Are you fucking kidding me? I've heard Aerosmith.
Charlotte, there's stuff from the 80 Kicks. You don't know.
You don't know.
If it's not Love in an Elevator, I don't want it.
That's why you hate Aerosmith.
Something about in an attic, a toy in an attic somewhere.
Oh, Toys in the Attic, the album?
Sure.
Anyway, moving on. We talked a lot about breaking into the church in the AVA building on our last episode. Well, not really breaking in, just propping the door open and nobody noticing so we could waltz in freely.
Right.
Well, yeah, so that we could go and see if there was any food in the kitchen.
Yes! Okay, see? And the one time I did it, I found some Cool Whip. I was very excited about it. But that's about it. Did you ever find any good food in there?
I only found ghosts.
Ghosts? Tell us the story.
The ghosts and I made a pact. We can't speak of it.
Fine.
I didn't prepare a story. I figured something would get...
I got a good one. Perfect. You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm born ready.
Okay, this is just me. There's nobody else involved in this story. Perfect. And it's not about drugs or drinking.
What?
It's about when I was 7. Mm. And, okay, so we had chili dogs that afternoon.
Chili dogs?
I believe we had chili dogs that afternoon. I don't remember eating the chili dogs. I don't remember any of that. But I do remember waking up, sitting bolt upright in the middle of the night and vomiting all over my blanket on the top bunk. I don't know who was on the bottom bunk, probably Laurie, but top bunk. And I was such a good chewer at that age that there was like 3/4 of a hot dog on the blanket. And I thought it was an organ.
Oh, no. Oh my God. No, I do know this story. I know it.
And I ate it. Because I ate my own vomit.
Because you were trying to put the organ back inside your body.
Oh my God, I love it.
I know, like, how is it going to find its way back to its home? I don't know. I was super smart and I'm sick. You know, I probably had a fever.
Was that in the bedroom that had the green carpet where we used to trap each other in between the closet door and the door to the kitchen and then pile all the blankets on top of each other until we suffocated to death?
No, it was in the back room that you could sneak out the back window.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fucking... funny.
Or you could just leave, probably through the porch, too, right?
I think we discussed that a little bit, too, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, for some reason, it was more fun to go out the sneak out the window. Right. But there was a door that just led pretty much directly outside.
Perfect.
Right. Okay, wait. I got 2 things to say. One, the only other thing that I ever remember happening in that back room concerning me is that I didn't believe putting your hand in warm water was going to make anybody pee, you know, because you hear about that on TV. So I did it to myself and I fell asleep with my hand in the warm water and I woke up in the middle of the night and that room was pitch black and I could not find the door. I've never had to pee, so that's why I pissed on the floor, on the carpet. And I didn't tell anybody because, like, who wants to admit that? And 2 days later, I come in to Terry scrubbing the carpet. She's just so mad. And she's just like, Tiffany, if you pee on the floor, you gotta tell somebody about it.
Poor Terry inherited all these feral children.
No, yeah, that reminds me of when Dad made the bedrooms up in the attic. And I had a fever. I was super sick. And the thought of having to go down that spiral metal staircase was just daunting because I had to keep getting up to pee. And, like, so I just brought a bucket up there and would just keep peeing in it. But then I just got lazy. So I kept peeing in it but not, like, disposing of it. And then it smelled so bad. It was so full. I didn't know how I was going to get it down and pass Terry without getting busted. And I'm like, maybe I can just pour it out the window because there's that tiny little window up there that would go... Technically, it should go into the marigold, like, garden bed. But it really, it just, I don't know. It was not good. And it was, like,
old and like moldy-ish, kind of like there were things growing on.
Oh, God, so Charlotte. That's so gross.
I know. There's something seriously wrong with me. I was also like 11.
Like Kelly was making me really mad. It's his birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Kelly. Happy birthday, Kelly. Peed in a cup and I tried to make him drink it.
Oh, I remember. I wasn't there, but I remember. Go ahead.
It's lemonade. Just drink it. And Casey's like, oh, so I'm like, it's not for you, Casey. It's only for Kelly. And then he was about to drink it. And I was like, oh, no, it's pee. Don't do it. And then Dad made me drink. That was my cup. That's the only cup I could drink out of after that. That was my punishment. So I washed it like for a half of an hour. Just washed it and washed it and washed it. And it didn't dawn on me till like a week later that I could just bury it.
Is that what you did? You buried it?
It's just like, I don't know, Dad. I don't know where it went.
I had no idea there were so many peeing and pooping stories.
I don't think I told you on the Pirate Radio cast of the time that I decided to poop in the backyard, because I don't know. I have no idea why. It was me and Sarah from across the street, and I was sitting on the swing set we had back there, and I was like, I wonder if I could, like, poop while I swing, or like something like that. Anyways, it was weird. I shouldn't tell this story.
You
shouldn't
be telling a lot of stories, Charlotte.
And but Terry, and I thought, I didn't clean it up because I was like, oh, Terry will just think that it's like dog shit, right? And no, Charlotte, you poop in the back. I was like, why me? Why not Laurie? Why not Sarah? Why me? And like, it also could have been a dog. She's like, that is not a dog. So I'm like, that didn't work out.
Just for a second, put yourself in Terry's shoes, like inheriting all of these fucking pooping and peeing feral children.
This isn't something I do on a regular basis. I have no idea what compelled. I think I know what it was. I think we were playing Truth or Dare, and someone dared me, and
Now it's truth or dare.
I don't normally say no to a dare. Depends on what it is. But for the most part, if you didn't have me go poop in the yard, I'll probably do it. Now I'm an adult and I don't do those things. Well, we'll see.
Unless you're dared.
Unless you dare me. I'm wild. I'm crazy.
Like the Spice Girls. You know what story we should tell since we have Tiffany?
Hmm.
We should tell. So we used to go up to the Tenasket Barter Fair.
Oh.
Yeah, every year for like, how many years did we go?
I only went two or three times because that last one was fucked up.
Why was it fucked up?
Yeah, what happened on the last one?
Well, the last time, everybody was high on mushrooms. And I think I was high on mushrooms, but it could have been anything that I was high on. And I was walking to the bathroom and, like, I walk by and there's, like, people, like, with a flashlight looking in this tent saying things. And I'm like, that's weird, right? And I go to the bathroom and on my way back, it's two little kids and they're like, yeah, do her harder, do her harder. Oh. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I go back to the fire and I'm like, you guys, I think there's people having sex in that tent and people get to tell them what to do for money. And everyone's like, you're high, man. I was like, no, it's fucked up. It's weird and it's fucked up. And then I went back and I could hear other people talking about how fucked up it was. And so I went back to the fire again, and people were like, dude, you're harsh, my mellow. Like, stop talking about
the I'm trying to have my drum circle.
Like, that's all I could think about. Because, I mean, it's like,
yeah, no,
500 feet away, people are fucking for money.
But they're kids?
No, kids had the flashlight telling the people what to do.
Ew.
And by kids, I mean like 13-year-olds.
That's still...
I mean, still, it was fucked up.
That shit ain't right.
Picture it. 1997. There's buses everywhere. Grateful Dead fans. A barter fair. What you do is you barter drugs for food. Or clothing that you made out of pillowcases for stacks of tomatoes. It's a huge fair, festival sort of a thing. A lot of drugs. A lot of youth. Charlotte and I are in a van. I've never done mushrooms, but Charlotte...
I'm a queen of mushrooms.
She's the queen of mushrooms, right? So we got this pile in between us, and I take a mushroom, having never done them, I put it in my mouth, and I know they make Mandy really sick. She vomits. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, is it going to make me sick? You know, what's going on? I taste it. I chewed, I contemplate it. I'm like, that's not so bad. So I go back to the eighth of mushrooms that my sister Charlotte and I have bought. And Charlotte's eaten every single other one of them. No more mushrooms for me. And that's okay, you know.
I love mushrooms, what can I say?
Yeah, and it was the evening, you know. And so we climb up a mountain, me and Charlotte and a couple friends climb up this, like, hill that surrounds the Barn Fair in the Tenasca Valley. There's cactuses, there's rocks, there's probably scorpions. Who knows? Yeah,
snakes.
And we go up there, and it's beautiful. There's a dog there, and the dog starts, like, freaking out a little bit. And so somebody, I think one of, Amanda, I think, takes the dog, and she's like, oh, we got to get this dog. I don't know what's going on. And she takes my shoes, too, like my flip-flops. She takes them. They go down the mountain, and I'm up there with Charlotte. And Mandy's out getting drunk somewhere. Charlotte's up there with me. And I...
Really high.
And I'm like, Charlotte, let's go down and let's go dance around the fire, you know? Let's have a... Because we're hippies, whatever.
Right. I'm sure there's a drum circle somewhere we need to be at.
There's a drum circle around the fire. And so I go, and I step down one, and I step down two, right into some fucking prickly pear cactuses. Oh. And I'm instantly not high anymore. And I'm like, oh shit, Charlotte. I'm not high. I can't walk. I'm fucked. And Charlotte's like, might as well not talk. Might as well not fuck! The whole world's coming to an end. Reaching out. And I'm like, you're too fucking high, Charlotte. You've got to go down.
Give me
some
more drugs.
You've got to find me some help. Well, and Charlotte also in her pocket at the time had a hit of ecstasy that went missing. Don't know if you took it or not, Charlotte.
Couldn't tell you. I was real high.
So Charlotte goes down the mountain. Probably still screaming about the end of the world, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so fucked. I'm gonna die up here.
Also, I believe I was rolling around in the cactus. The cacti.
You might have been rolling around in the cactus.
I was like,
true.
Oh, might as well not.
Might as well not fuck.
Oh.
So I'm up there, and I go, and I'm like, well, you gotta save yourself. I've not seen at the time. I hadn't seen I Survived, but... If they're going to tell a story about me surviving, it'd be this one, right? You got to save yourself. Yes. I could have died up there. So I crawl down on my hands and knees. And when I get to the base of the mountain, Mandy and her group of friends, her drunk tequila friends, so find dumb. Me, which was wonderful. And they carried me on their back to the campsite. And they were singing about Pancho Villa.
Which happened to be the name of the tequila we were drinking.
Shocker.
Bottom shelf.
And we tried to pick out all of the thorns in my feet, and like the whole time it was happening, I'm like, hey, you guys, I think there is the aurora borealis going on right now, because it was like a shaft of white light coming from behind the mountains. And then he's like, fuck you, it's moonbeams.
I said that several times. I was like, it's fucking moonbeams. It was not moonbeams. It was not the fucking beams. Aurora Borealis.
Oh, I thought you guys were all just fucking high.
No, it was just like pulsing moonbeams.
Yeah, it was like, but it was weird because, you know, like you have an idea in your head of what the Aurora Borealis usually looks like.
Right.
But this was like, there's no colors to it. It was just white. And it looked like a rippling sort of wave across the top of the sky, if that makes sense. Like sometimes, usually when you see it, it's like shafts of light that are kind of like coming up out of nowhere, you know, but this was like... It was unlike any other I've ever seen. You remember, right, Tiffany? What it looked like?
It was like, yeah, I wasn't high.
It was like rolling. I wasn't high either. I mean, I was shit-faced, but it was like rolling waves, sort of, I don't know. It was super fucking cool, and obviously not moonbeams.
Oh, that's good.
I was going to say, a long story short, they put clay on my feet that didn't get out the needles, and I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. Does it?
Ooh.
Yeah. We tried to get him out drunk. I remember that. And then we tried to put, when we woke up in the next morning, she was still, like, obviously just, you know, needles in both feet. So we tried to put, I think, duct tape on your feet.
Oh, Jesus.
I could see that. And I don't know why it wouldn't work. Yeah, I do it today.
To pull them out. I think we got some of them out that way. And then we tried to put the mud on.
What about me? How was I? Was I fine?
We never saw you again.
As what?
We never saw you again. You wandered into the forest, never to return.
I do remember, I think that actually Charlotte did find you to tell you I needed help, right? That's how you guys found me?
She's, yeah.
You just went up to him and we were like, Tiffany's hurt somewhere on the mountain. I gotta go dance.
Yeah, we had flashlights and we were about ready to send out the search party to come find you, and you were crawling on your hands and knees off of the mountain.
Oh, I know. So sad.
But that's what this pirate radio show is about, is
questionable life choices,
talking about how surviving. We should be dead so many times.
I was gonna say too, thinking about if the moonbeams weren't real, moonbeams was, we had gone out to the beach house out in Oregon, and this is the way I remember it. Apparently people say that I'm remembering it wrong, but was that they had asked who wants to do ecstasy, and so like they were pooling money for it, and I was like, hey, Tiffany, do you want to do any? And she's like, nah, I'm good. And I was like, okay, cool, just get some for me. And then when we got out there and everybody was doing it, Tiffany was kind of like, well, shit, I want to do some drugs. And I was like, here, I'll just share mine with you. So everybody's starting to get, you know, high. And silly. We're like, oh, I don't really feel anything. But I had also brought mushrooms with me. So we split mushrooms, too. So now we're doing ecstasy and mushrooms. And then we decide to go walk out to the ocean. And as we're walking out there and we're hitting the sand, I look up and I just see fireworks everywhere. There's no fireworks. And I was like, Tiffany, look, fireworks. And Tiffany's like, you're fucking high. There's no fireworks. And then I look over at her and she is booking it towards the ocean. I'm like, don't go in there. It's cold. And then I don't really remember a lot after that, but I do remember when we got back to the house, because everybody was rolling, we put on The Little Mermaid. And we were singing along with it, but we were all swaying back and forth in unison. And I actually started getting seasick, even though we're not on a fucking boat. And and then I walked in and Joey was like facing the wall, like, and talking to himself.
Like Blair Witch style?
Kinda, yeah. And I was like, fucking Joey's really fucking high. And then when I tell the story, everybody tells me I'm jumbling two different, like, instances up. Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, that could very well be. I mean, Tiffany, what do you remember from that night? Anything?
I just remember being too high, nobody knowing I was high, and I couldn't let anyone know that I was high. And then, like, Nate found out, and he was pissed, and then he ate some mushrooms, and everybody had a good time, but it was like, you guys did mushrooms, stop me!
See, so that's where I thought everybody was doing drugs, so either I was mistaken in that, or that was a different time.
It could have been a different time. I think that was the time when they found the shark head, and then they tried to boil the flesh off of it. Yeah. No,
that was when Amel was with us.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking gross, man.
Did you guys already talk about Mandy's Lord of Acid jacket? What other bands were on that jacket? I was talking today with Jenny and Josh about your jacket that you used to wear all the time with the Lords of Acid and Metallica on it. Leather jacket. I think it was when you were a drug dealer.
You're a drug dealer, Mandy?
Listen, that I got an A on that jacket. I painted that in art class at Logan High. And
what other bands were on it?
It was just Lords of Acid and Metallica.
That's it?
Yeah.
7 Seconds? No, that's not a band. Wait.
Primus?
No, it was mostly a Lords of Acid jacket, and then I just threw the Metallica in there because they were my favorite band at the time.
I've also never heard of Lord of Acid. Is it a band?
Yeah, it's like it's very...
Or was
like,
that your drug dealer name?
I was not a drug dealer. I was a middle management. I was an entrepreneur. I was more in shipping and just distribution and logistics. Okay, I was not a drug dealer. Yeah, Lords of Acid was like KMFDM or kind of like Ministry a little bit. Right. It was that sort of electronic, lots of fresh beats. That's not a good way to describe it at all. But yeah. I remember, I was actually thinking about telling some of those stories about, Dad would fucking murder me if he heard this story, but he promised he wasn't going to listen to this podcast, although I still think he might anyway.
I wouldn't take that Seriously. Well, you have to assume every person's going to hear it. Whether they actually will or not, just assume they are.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Of course. I do. Okay. I do. I just think it's funny to say, like, Dad's going to murder me.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't actually say it if I didn't want him to hear it. But what we used to do is, so we had that Suzuki Samurai. And I was not allowed to drive it out of the valley, out of Cache Valley. And so Dad would check the miles on it to see how far I'd driven or whatever. And so we would, you could reach up underneath the dashboard and unplug the whole entire speedometer and odometer. Like you just pulled a plug out of it, basically. And then, so you couldn't tell how fast you were going, but it wouldn't rack up any miles. And so nice. I drove that thing all fucking over the place. Like it had so many miles on it that were just totally unregistered. But I would drive that to Salt Lake all the time. And we would buy a sheet of acid. It was $300 for a sheet. So it's 10 strips make up a sheet. And you would buy it for $300 and you would sell it for $5 a hit back right. then. And so, and we would usually just sell it in 10 strips. And so it was like, yeah, $200 profit. Every 3 days we would go back for another sheet.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Making that sweet, sweet drug dealer. I mean, middle management cash. What's a good way to say that? Shipping and distribution?
Shipping and distribution. Yep. Distribution for sure.
Mm-hmm. I actually used that same trick. We had rented an RV once to go down to see Radiohead at the Gorge. It was me and BJ and like Mike and Sexy Dave. And I think there were some other people too that went. But remember, we had a keg of beer. And I was telling them that story. I was like, oh, yeah, we used to do this thing when I was in high school, you know, unplug the speedometer. And they're like, holy shit, that's a great idea. And they're like, you know, car heads or whatever. And so they were able to do it on this RV. They were like, oh, yeah, why don't we just unplug it? Because the RV would charge you by how many miles you drove. Oh. And so rather than just driving it up and down the 5, you know, to get back home, we ended up taking the Cascades, the scenic North Cascades up around, like, Lake Chelan and shit. Right. And which was so beautiful and so fun. But, yeah, they were just like, oh, yeah, we could do that. And then we just got all these free miles out of it.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was super cool. Life lessons, kids. Right? Tips on how to live your best life. Take a lot of drugs. Walk in a cactus.
Dance with hippies. And bong? No, not bongs.
Trade clothes?
No, the drum circles. Fucking, what are those drums called?
Djembe? Djembe?
Is that? I had no idea. I was thinking conga drum.
You can trade your clothes for homemade jellies and jams. That you made, the clothes that you made, and the jellies that you made, really.
It's a good time.
Candles. We made candles, too, I think.
Yeah, that's
I remember
right.
One year I got 13 free tomato plants from Albertsons that were sunburned, and I grew the tomatoes all around the yard, and I had quite the harvest.
I remember that.
And we went to the barter fair, and Mandy took them all and bartered them away. I can't remember what for, but I was pissed.
You were?
Did you get any of the sweet profit?
Whatever it was?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Wow, Mandy.
Wow, all I did was take you in and house you and clothe you and keep you alive when you were at the tender young age of 16.
I was 17.
Just kidding. I actually made you get a job right away. You're like, yeah. I'm like, you gotta pay rent, bitch.
I ain't your mama.
How did that end up happening, Tiffany? How did you end up moving to live with me?
Well, because my friend Erin was going to run away to New Orleans, and she had an extra bus ticket, and I was like, I'll go, because I'm super smart. And so we got on the bus, and we went to New Orleans. It took 3 days on the Greyhound. It was awful. And right when we got to New Orleans, like, we left the bus station all, you know, like, 16, wide-eyed, young, fresh meat. We immediately got followed by this guy. And so we just walked around the block back to the bus station and called our parents. And Dad was so mad at me. Her parents put us up for the night. They flew us home. And Dad picked me up at the airport and drove me straight to Southern California and dropped me off. And then Mom was like, well, you're going that way anyway. You might as well go live with your sister.
So wow, like, okay. That's mean.
Going that way, meaning like down the path of drugs and Satan?
I Yeah, Lords of Acid. Yeah.
I remember that, though. I remember Mom getting the phone call and talking to Jeff about it, saying, Tiffany's in New Orleans, and she needs to get home. We need to buy her plane ticket. Because Dad didn't do it for some reason. Maybe he didn't have the money. I'm not entirely sure.
Because he's probably pissed. I ran away all the time. And it wasn't a bad house. I was just a bad kid.
Well, you know, you just wanted adventure. You needed life and adventure. So I do remember them saying, okay, well, we have to buy the plane ticket. I didn't know that you came and lived with us right away, you know, for a minute before you went to go live with Mandy. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember how long I was in Southern California. I know that I came up on Earth Day because Mandy was like, oh, you're going to miss all the nugs for 420. And Mom's like, what's nugs? You can't go. And he was like, nugs is kittens, Mom. And she
believed me. Oh, my God. I just love whenever Mom, like, told her, there's this one time I did acid and I totally should have gotten in trouble for it. Like, it was bad. Cops were called. I didn't get picked up, but other people did. Anyways, and so when I got home, I'm like, Mom, no, I would never do drugs, whatever. And then once I turned, like, 20-ish, 21, I was like, oh, yeah, that one time I was totally high on drugs. I just wanted to believe in my children.
Well, that's why you always say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, you know, you knowing about it wasn't going to make it any better. It wasn't going to change anything.
I just want to interject, too, that I've been to that. I've seen that bus station, Tiffany, recently that you're talking about in New Orleans. Oh, my
God, yeah, it is sketchy. That is some
sketchy-ass shit.
The bus station is down by the terminal for the cruise, for the the boats, right? Yeah. No, that shit is sketchy.
I'm 45 years old, and I wouldn't hang out there. And I know some shit now. I've learned some things over my years of being alive.
Yeah, it was scary. One thing about barter fairs I want to just say really quick is Charlotte, we all know Michael, our next door neighbor.
Oh, yes. Yes, Michael.
I brought him to a barter fair one time. Why you'd bring a goth kid to a barter fair, I'm not sure.
Oh, my God. Was it wonderful?
I think there's a picture. He looks the most miserable I've ever seen anyone in their whole life.
I have the picture. I have the picture. I'll post it on the Instagram.
We have to star out his face.
We'll blur him out. Okay. Yeah. But you can still get the goth vibe and the look of despair.
Trent Reznor would not enjoy this.
Robert Smith would not enjoy this. If there wasn't the photographic evidence of him being at that, I wouldn't have ever remembered that he went. That's how goth he is.
Same.
So you, because you're not on social media, you didn't see Mandy and I had just did a photo shoot at the beach. We dressed up all gothic and brought wine and took pictures like we were laying out.
did you bring Clarice?
Oh, idiot.
You know what? The next one, we'll bring it for, because we're going to do more photo shoots.
She could be pretty goth.
You know, I could put some makeup on that kid.
That's what I'm saying. Her hair is already pretty goth.
It's very punk rock. You got to dye it black first. It's synthetic hair. It won't take.
Speaking of creepy dolls, Tiffany, thank you so much for the creepy dolls that you sent me.
Yeah, they're pretty great. They're a little lewd.
Sleeping.
I like a fucking baby. I've got all these haunted dolls watching over me.
It's like a
haunted we're recording in my bedroom, so I'm looking at them right now, and it's pretty fucking glorious. It's what's great. Going on up there.
My favorite is that Tiffany was just concerned. She's like, if I give these dolls to Mandy, will she dismember them? Because I don't care about these dolls. I didn't pay for them. I got them for free. I don't know anything about them. I have no sentimental attachment. But I don't... But, you know, they deserve better than being taken apart.
I would never. Also, Tiffany, do you mind telling the story about how you found them and what the lady said to you when she handed them over?
Oh, no, yeah. I saw them on Craigslist and I was like, Mandy needs these dolls. And so I texted her, or emailed her, and I was like, I need these dolls. I'm going to come get them. They're free in Skagit. So it's like a, you know, 40-minute round trip. But I was like, it's fun. It's worth it. And so I emailed her, and then I asked you if you wanted the dolls, because it was going to be a surprise, but maybe you didn't need any extra dolls. So I drove down there dolls. After you confirmed that, yes, you needed the dolls. I drove down there and pulled up, and a guy brings me into his house. They have a lot of stuff. That's okay. And the lady's like, oh, you're here for the dolls. And then she's like, okay. And she went to the other room and brought them out swaddled. Take good care of my babies.
Oh no.
To be fair, she is taking very good care of them.
They're, no, for sure.
They're on an altar. There are flameless candles all around them.
And she didn't want to throw them out, you know?
I wouldn't. That would be a travesty.
It would be.
Yeah.
Now they're with their sisters. I gave them all names.
What's their names?
The ones that Tiffany just sent me. So there's a little, the little one that's looking at you with the side eye.
Oh, I see it.
That's Violet.
Oh, shit. Violet? Okay.
Yeah, Violet. And then the other one with the eyes that open and close when you lay her down, that's Betty.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
And they live with their sisters, Emma, who's the one that we got at the estate sale before we went on the cruise for Charlotte's 30th birthday.
Right.
We should totally tell the story of Charlotte's 30th birthday. Because that was fucking awesome.
Great idea.
Speaking of creepy dolls, speaking of Emma, it was the three of us and Craig who went to that estate sale. And Craig had gotten that really sweet Luke Skywalker figurine or whatever. And they didn't, the people didn't realize that it was Star Wars because they did have a lot of other figurines
right,
and stuff.
They were more expensive.
Yeah. When they knew what they had, they're like, oh, they have a Star Trek. Or they had some other Star Wars stuff too that was obviously Star Wars. But the one Craig got was, it was his flight suit from when he was in Dagobah training with Yoda. So, like, you couldn't even really tell unless you knew. And so he got that for a fucking steal. I'll never forget that. But I got the Emma, the little creepy porcelain, pale, pasty doll. And then, Tiffany, you got your Charlie McCarthy. Charlie.
Yeah. So it was four of us that went to the estate sale and seven of us that left.
Fact.
This is correct.
Yeah, but the reason we were in California and even able to go to this fucking sweet ass estate sale is because we were going on this cruise for Charlotte's birthday, and we'd never been on a cruise.
None of us had been on a cruise,
and we didn't really want to go on a cruise. And Charlotte's like,
I wanted to because I like old people shit.
Mm-hmm. So we went on this cruise to. It was a Carnival cruise, which was our first mistake.
Yeah,
right. We didn't know. And we take this cruise, and it goes from Long Beach down over to Catalina and then down to Ensenada, Mexico, and then back home. So it's just like a 3-day thing.
Right.
And
it's a cheap cruise. It's like $300 to $400.
Yeah, it was like $300.
But the thing is that doesn't include a drink package or anything of any value. And the drinks are very expensive.
Very expensive.
So we had decided, because per adult, you can have one bottle of wine. And instead of bringing
like
wine,
you can bring it on,
like you can bring it on the ship. Anything else, they'll hold it for you and they'll give it back to you once you leave. But you can't have it in your possession
because how else are you going to spend money on
exactly? Because normally, it's a $400 cruise, but you have a $1,000 bill afterwards. So we had the brilliant idea. Maybe I had the brilliant idea of emptying out the wine bottles and filling it with vodka.
I do want to say it's Charlotte's brilliant idea because for some reason we got red wine. Right. Just white.
Right. So, well, and for what too, like I thought, oh, well, we can't use a corkscrew to get out the cork because they might see the hole and know that it's not wine in there. So we spent all of this time. And since we had one bottle per person, we spent all of this time with a shoe hitting against a wall to try and get this cork out of it.
And yeah, supposedly, according to YouTube, you can get a cork out of a wine bottle without a wine key.
And you can. We got it. It just took
It just takes a week and a half.
I found out that dress shoes work better than sneakers.
Yeah, we found that out together.
Yeah.
Thanks for the dress shoe, Craig.
So, yeah, then we drank all the wine, and then we filled it up with vodka. And then I realized, wait, it's too clear. If they're going to look at it, which, by the way, they don't look at it. They don't give a shit. They'll take it out. Like, you're allowed to have the bottle of wine, but they don't inspect anything. It's too clear. So I thought, oh, no problem. Let's get some blue food coloring. Throw that in there. Perfect. Bam. Magic.
Yeah, imagine an empty red wine bottle. It's got, like, a greenish tint to it. When it's full of red wine, it's
dark.
Dark, right? When it's full of vodka,
not so dark.
It looks unless dark. It's white wine.
Right. And again, mistakes were made.
A lot of mistakes were made.
Actually, you know what? Fuck that. Because it would have been clear, it'd still have to be yellow. If it's Chardonnay or any sort of thing, it's going to have a yellow hint.
You know, a drop or two of yellow dye.
Get a instead fucking, of the whole bottle of green dye.
Get a fucking Sauvignon Blanc, bitches, okay?
Actually, just go on a better cruise.
Yeah, just don't go
with
on
a drink package, but we digress. But so Craig, he's the fucking genius of the whole group. And I don't know how he left with actual Captain Morgan still on him because we didn't drink it. Fucked if I know how that happened. But Craig's like, I'm just going to bring this whole bottle of Captain Morgan. We're like, psh, good luck with that. We've got all this vodka. We're just going to sweat 4 days. No problem. Yeah, it lasted like a day.
Wait, I think we glossed over the...
Oh, no. Okay. So Craig's like, I'm going to bring it. So when we're dropping off the bags, the porter guy is just like, okay, guys, I know some of you all have booze in here. We're going to take it unless you give me $20. And Craig's like, oh, yeah, easy. Here's your 20 bucks. And that's how he was able to have free drinks all day, every day.
I was going to say, I think we glossed over the part where we, so the wine looks clear, like there's the greenish tinge and then there's the clear vodka in the wine bottle, so it looks...
Oh, no, I said that I put some blue ass food coloring in there.
Okay.
Did you say how much?
Because that's what I put in there. I don't really remember.
That's the details that our listeners need to hear.
It was enough to make it look dark.
It wasn't just a drop or two.
It was a lot.
It was multiple bottles.
What? I don't choose not to believe that.
It was enough that I didn't shit not blue for a month.
Spoiler alert, I was getting there. I have a feeling that this episode's going to have some sort of feces title in it. Anyway, so we get on the boat and
it's a ship.
What's up?
It's a ship.
The ship. Oh, I'm sorry, the ship. And we're walking around with all of these, because also, if you want to have soda or anything like that, that's also a package you have to pay for, but you can have water or lemonade. That's included. So we're walking around with these lemonade drinks that are blue. Looks very tropical. People are asking us, oh my God, that looks delicious. Where did you get it from? Like, oh, the bar. Run away. Our mouths are blue.
Mm-hmm.
Our tongue etched everything. Our teeth.
It was a fucking shit ton of food.
We're sweating blue.
Well, no, I want to say it was around the second day of the cruise that, and the food was just atrocious. Like, if you can just imagine eating 7-Eleven food, and like...
I was going to say, what do you mean atrocious? It was delightful. All you could eat, ice cream and pizza? Come on!
Me and Mandy have been on quite a few decent cruises now, and Carnival Cruise is by far the shittiest thing I've ever experienced. Not just a cruise. It's the worst thing I've ever experienced.
All they were missing was like a taquito roller.
Right. Oh my God, that would have been perfect.
Actually,
a hot dog roller.
I think they
roller.
Did have that. A hot
I
dog
bet
roller.
They did. I'm pretty sure they did. They want to keep it fresh for you. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the second day. I was like, okay, well, we've been eating all this shitty food in and out. And Tiffany, you had mentioned, you're like, oh, I feel like cattle just being like forced to eat. Like, what are you going to do? I don't know. Let's eat some more. Like, it was not great, but I was like, so does anybody else have like neon green poo? And they're like, yes, okay, it's not just me. And it took me, probably you figured it out, T. It was just like, it's the food coloring. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't think of that at all. But we had a really great time bringing Emma with us, and we brought Charlie McCarthy, and like, we did quite a few photo shoots on that boat. It wasn't completely useless.
No, it was kind of fun. I remember Tiffany taking the Charlie McCarthy doll to dinner because they would have wear your fancy outfits to dinner, and then they would, you had to like...
He had a monocle and a tux and a top hat.
That's right. So he was ready for dinner.
And you had to sit with like people you don't know, right?
Right.
If I remember correctly.
Oh, totally. I mean, I wore a very awesome sequin dress.
Yeah.
Just think of... designing women.
Yeah. Very. Yeah. Shoulder pads.
Yes.
Gold and black.
It was the heaviest dress I've ever put on.
Yeah. So Charlotte's wearing that shit. Tiffany's got a fucking ventriloquist doll. We're sitting at a table at this, like, supposedly fancy dinner. It's, you know,
it's
carnival fancy.
For carnival.
So it's like, you know, hillbilly fancy. But, and then all these people that were seated with us were just like, what the fuck?
People just don't get us.
They really don't.
Yeah, Charlie wasn't very hungry that.
Oh my God.
I was thinking about getting rid of the Charlie McCarthy doll because I've got Pee-wee now.
Why can't they be friends? Can they hold hands?
I mean, like, how many dolls do I need?
Tiffany, if you get rid of that.
I've got Bacula.
If you get rid of that Charlie McCarthy doll, I fucking need it, okay? It would go perfectly with my aesthetic.
I think he doesn't have the monocle or the top hat anymore.
That's okay. I could work that out.
She can make it. She's crafty.
I need to refine my 45-year-old white girl single alone forever aesthetic with my haunted dolls.
You just haven't found the right one, Mandy.
And I'm not gonna. Tiffany, did you ever go to any of those clubs in Salt Lake? The, like, club, I'm saying clubs with air quotes. No. But, like, there was, like, DV8 and Confetti.
No.
You never went to those?
No, I was 14.
It was all ages. Oh, actually, maybe you had to be 16 to get in. But it wasn't, like, for booze.
I went to some in Logan. I mean, I saw, like, Offspring at the Eccles Theater. Not the Eccles Theater. ABA. Whatever that one was up by our...
ABA?
ABA building.
Church. Yeah, the ABA. We were talking about breaking into that last time.
I was at that show, too. Oh. It was $5.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
And I saw, like, Fugazi at a fairground, but I didn't ever go to Salt Lake.
One of the guys that I used to work with out in Hawaii, he's, like, best friends with all those guys from the Offspring band or whatever. And he's, like, he knows a ton of those industry people, and he's, like, friends with the Vandals and, you know, whatever, Suicidal Tendencies. And he kept always talking big, like, oh, I'll get you on the guest list. I'll get you on the guest list when they come out. And I was, like, yeah, sure, because I'm the boss. And so I figured he's just, like, kissing my ass or whatever. And I told him that story of how we saw Offspring for $5 at the ABA building, and he told me a little bit about that, like, Utah-Idaho circuit that they would do every once in a while. And I remember I went to a show. It was not Suicidal Tendencies. It was not the Vandals. It was the Descendants in Hawaii. I'm like, you know, a bunch of my friends are there. We're like, fuck yeah, the Descendants, so awesome. And I look up, and this guy has quit, you know, the job long before then. But I look up on stage, and sure as shit, he's like up on the side of the stage, like just hanging out with the band. And I was like, oh, he wasn't full of shit. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But he got a kick out of that story, knowing somebody that, you know, because he was like big shit back in that day, like top shit, you know, touring, like getting, you know, hanging out with the band as they're getting popular or whatever. And I was like, yeah, we totally went to that show.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Small world.
I don't really remember much about it. I think I was that might have been when I was huffing gas, and I remember watching myself in the mirror a lot. Is about all I remember of the Offspring.
Oh my God, huffing gas. I almost fucking forgot about that for good reason.
For good reason.
Never huffed gas. Oh,
sweet Jesus.
You did miss out a little bit, because it's amazing, but it's also like I'm probably like 50 times stupider than I would be.
Totally.
And I only huffed it 3 times.
I'm pretty sure I did that.
How is it the best thing? Like,
well, because you're just like, reality isn't a thing.
Is it like,
you know, you're like
the, what is the thing where you're whippets? Is it like doing that? The nitrous?
A little bit. I always did it with Chrissy, and we were out in her, like, root cellar, and the one time that it worked for me, because the other times it was like, did you hear my phone ring? And then 5 minutes ago, and we repeated ourselves, like, 25 times, but this time, we were in the root cellar, and, like, it finally worked, and she's like, if I see a dinosaur, I'm gonna scream! and she like, screamed and, like, threw the gas. But, like, I had my own gas or something, and I remember that I had to reach down from the ceiling to take my next hit of gas. And I was on the floor.
That actually does sound, like, kind of fun.
It is fun.
Was amazing, but you really do feel stupid. And I was only 12.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess I can't talk. Me and Nicole were drinking. I want to say we were probably smoking pot by 12.
Good times.
So good. So good.
Somehow, we're still here and huffing still gas. Alive.
Rolling around in fucking cactus. Fucking.
I love that story. I'm so glad, Tiffany, you decided to join us, because I've been dying to tell that cactus story forever. Because it wasn't just that we had put the tape on your feet to try to get them out, and we put the mud on your feet. And, you know, we tried to pick them out one by one, and we had, like, actual adult people. Like, I think Jenny's dad might have been there trying to help pick out the needles out of your feet. But it was literally, like, we had to carry you everywhere. You couldn't walk for weeks.
That's why I can't do drugs anymore. Pity.
I can't do drugs because I'm too old and I have a job now.
I would like to say this is why I can't do drugs, but I'm not as old as you.
One of my f- fuck you, first of all. And one of my friends who has been my longest time oldest friend, not oldest as in oldest, but like longest running long friendship. She's been listening to the podcast and she was like,
you mean pirate radio?
Oh yeah, sorry. She's been listening to the pirate radio station. It was a podcast back then.
Oh, fair enough.
And she was like, you're missing out. Acid's still awesome.
It was too long. I can't do 12 hours. That's why I like mushrooms. I'm like, okay, I could do a couple hours. Like, four hours. Yeah, 4 hours tops. What, acid is 12 hours. I remember.
It is not 12 hours.
No, I remember it. Hours. I would take it in the daytime, and then it would be nighttime, and it was fucking high. Actually, it was a lie. We never took it during the daytime. We took it at night. And then it would be like noon, and I'd be like, God damn it, I'm still fucking high.
You probably had speed in it or something.
Oh, who knows? I was like 10. No, I wasn't 10. I was like 15. Just keep progressively getting younger. I was out of the womb taking some acid. It's fine. Sweet ass sweet. All right. Well, awesome. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us and hearing stories of our debauchery and almost dying a few more times. Still alive, bitches.
We know that what you were looking for when you chose this podcast to listen to was hearing stories about all of us pooping and peeing on ourselves and other people.
Listen.
If it's good enough for President Trump, it's good enough for us. That's the only time I've actually said the words President and Trump together in one sentence.
I said it one time and I almost threw up.
when it's insulting him for golden showers, that's the only time I'll utilize his official title.
President T-Rump.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed this episode and we're going to continue drinking and, you know, hopefully coming up with a lot more ideas. Every time we do this, more memories come back to me and I'm like, oh my God, I fucking huffed gas. Oh my God, I did that. Oh my God, I used to get my cigarettes at 13 at the Skanky's Market. Somebody texted me that today. Do you remember Skanky's, Tiff?
I sure don't.
Well, okay, that'll be for another time. I could just keep going off. Anyways.
All right, well, yeah, so thanks for coming. I'll see you on the next one.
Family Homie Pink with Bad Mormons.